Welcome, everybody, to the Moose Room. It's just me, Emily, here today. I have been left to my own devices. Bradley and Joe are out busy. Of course, we got a lot going on this time of year and a lot of things happening in the dairy and beef industries right now. So just you and I are going to have a little chat today, everyone. And this will be a pretty quick episode. We are going to talk more about a topic we've been discussing a lot on this podcast. Joe's been doing a lot of episodes about highly pathogenic avian influenza, also known as H5N1. So we know that this was a strain found in avian species. It has since been found in mammals, including goat, cattle, and now also a human. So there's a lot going on with that, and Joe has really covered the technical side, the biosecurity side, what we need to be aware of, but there's a mental side to this as well. And so that's what I want to talk about just a little bit today. And we are going to talk about this in the context of H5N1, but this is something that can come up in a lot of different situations, and that is anticipatory stress. So if you may recall, we have talked about anticipatory grief before, when we were talking about ambiguous loss with my colleague, Dr. Jennifer McGuire. But now today we're talking about anticipatory stress. So that is really when we experience an increased stress response in anticipation of something difficult or unpredictable, right? So H5N1, I find that to be difficult and unpredictable. So the three stages of anticipatory stress are becoming aware of this potential threat or challenge. So we have that awareness piece now. And then the second stage is evaluating whether we have the resources we need to address whatever this threat or challenge is, or if there's a potential for us to be overwhelmed by it. And then lastly, kind of the third stage of anticipatory stress is the physical and emotional experience of that stress. So, you know, again, this is something that has been a really big topic, and I know it has certainly stressed me out, right? Because we kind of had all these, well, it can't be found in this, well, and it can't transfer to mammal species, and now it has, right? So it kind of keeps growing, and it seems like it's been growing at a really fast rate, right? Suddenly we had this goat that tested positive in Minnesota, then there were dairy cattle, and now there's a human. So a lot has happened really fast. So it is completely normal that we would feel a little overwhelmed by that because, yes, this is a threat, and we don't know exactly what it's all going to look like or what it's going to shake out to really be or how it's going to continue to impact, you know, these additional industries in agriculture. If you're wondering to yourself now, like, well, am I experiencing anticipatory stress? I don't know what's going on. So some signs of it, and again, keep in mind, it is going to have some similar symptoms to, you know, the stress we have normally already. So, you know, our nervous system reacts to stress. That could look like an increased heart rate, rapid breathing, or difficulty getting a full breath. Increased perspiration, so sweating more, right? Being really warm. And then just other signs, right? Feeling tense, feeling on edge, having racing thoughts. I know that's something that I've been struggling with during this time is my thoughts are just taking me so many different places, right? And I'm assuming the worst and thinking of how bad things could get. So I too am experiencing anticipatory stress right now. Some other things that it could look like, difficulty sleeping, feeling irritable, finding it difficult to concentrate, right? Like thinking about H5N1 is really pulling a lot of your focus. So that, again, these could all be signs that you are experiencing anticipatory stress. And I know that I threw a lot at you. That probably sounds a little scary, right? But like any kind of stress, we can prevent it or we can do things to cope with it while we are experiencing it. And I think the first thing I really want to note, I probably should have said this at the beginning, but not all anticipatory stress is bad, right? And we've talked about stress in general in that way too. We know that some level of stress can be good for us, right? Because it does activate our nervous system. It can help motivate us. It can help us get things done. But there is a specific threshold for that. And the threshold is different for every person. So I can't tell you at this exact moment or after this many days, this is when it's no longer a good thing, right? But that's something we just really need to be aware of with ourselves, right? I think we know when we're stressed, but like, hey, this is good. It's helping me get things done. I still feel like I'm managing. And then there's times when we are stressed that it feels like we're almost paralyzed, right? There's so much to do and we're not sure even where to start with what we're doing, right? So that looks different for everybody. So just being mindful that having anticipatory stress is not inherently bad on its own. It's just a matter of, again, what we're doing to manage and cope with it to make sure it doesn't become this whole thing that's just taking over all of our thoughts and our actions. You know, it's important to address when our stress is getting unmanageable. And there's some different strategies we can use specifically with anticipatory stress to help us just regroup and hopefully kind of get ourselves back to a point where we can be coping with the stress and still able to handle the other things happening in our lives. So one of those strategies is reframe and reappraise. So research indicates that when we have a more positive appraisal of an oncoming stressful event, both the stressful event will be less negative and what we think about it, right, our confidence with it will grow. So, you know, again, kind of reframing, reappraising the situation and thinking like, yes, this is something stressful that's coming, but, you know, it's a good opportunity for us to look at our biosecurity and really making sure that we're shoring that up. And it's a really great opportunity for us to, you know, talk to our employees about cleaning and you know, washing hands and getting buckets cleaned out after shifts and all of those types of things, right? So it's not about, you know, oh, toxic positivity, I can only see the good. That's not what this is about, right? But it's just kind of reframing it and looking at where the opportunities may be here, right? And that can help us feel more prepared to tackle it if we can see, you know, what we can do with it, right? What's the good that can come out of it? Another really important strategy, and this is one I know I have talked about on this podcast before, and that is using compassionate and positive self-talk, you know, when thinking about the event and whether you can manage it. So an example of that is telling yourself things like, I have survived many things. Our herd has survived many things. Our farm, our family has survived many things. We can survive this too. You know, this is going to be hard, but I know it's a challenge we can face, right? So not saying, oh, you know, this will be fine. It's a-okay. But saying like, yeah, it's going to be hard, but we can do it. You know, we'll be able to make it through. This may seem like kind of a silly strategy, but research indicates that having self-compassion, you know, and attempting to talk to yourself in a positive way can really help our stress levels. So, you know, I say like for me personally, I am the person that makes my stress the worst, right? Because then there's a lot of negative self-talk. It feels like, well, you have no plan, you're lazy, you're not ready, you have no idea what you're facing, you know, all of that. And a really great strategy that a coworker taught me once is they told me, if you would not say it to a friend or someone you love, why are you saying it to yourself, right? You should love yourself the most. You should be kindest to yourself. So again, positive self-talk, it's not all about doom and gloom, but also it's not all about being so positive that you aren't being realistic. But just reminding yourself, and I think that first example I gave is perfect. You know, you have survived many things. You will survive this too, right? You will find a way to come through it. It may involve some change, but there's a way to get through this. In that same vein, taking care of yourself. I talk about this so many times, and I will never miss an opportunity to talk about it again. Self-care, any action you take with the intention of taking care of yourself. That is what self-care is. So, you know, getting enough sleep each night, eating nutritious meals, being physically active, finding ways to relax, right? Having outlets for your stress and also allowing yourself time to remove yourself from the stress, right? The way I say that is I always tell myself, you know, I'm taking a break from the path. The path will be there when I get back, right? So even if that's just taking 10 minutes to read the paper, right? You know, taking 10 minutes to play a game on your phone just because you need a little break and you just need to shut your brain off for a second. Those are all really effective ways to cope with stress. So taking care of yourself is going to be, you know, a really critical piece of this. So another strategy, and I've kind of alluded to this when I talked about our nervous system, right? Our bodies react when we're in stress. So we need to use that biofeedback. So biofeedback is a really helpful tool for managing stress. You know, you can just do it on your own. Perhaps you have like a smartwatch or some other device that maybe tracks your heart rate and those types of things. Biofeedback is, what is your pulse? Are you breathing really heavy? You know, are you noticing that you are sweating more, right? You do feel really warm. So really taking the time to tune into your body and listen to what your body's telling you to, right? Because our body is doing all sorts of things unbeknownst to us, right? Around the clock. But if we take the time to stop and just tune in, so to speak, to what's happening, we may find that, yes, our body is having a reaction. And so we're going to provide some biofeedback for our body to help it re-regulate. So that's a really fancy way of saying breathing, right? Doing some deep breaths. That's a really great way to use biofeedback. So in taking deep breaths, you know, we're telling our body, like, it's okay, you know, like we're in a flight or fight response, but we don't need to be. We're going to get this oxygen back in flowing. We're going to slow down that heart rate. So an easy way to do that, I believe I've talked about this before on the podcast, is box breathing. So taking a breath in for 4 seconds, holding it for 4 seconds, and then exhaling over 4 seconds, and then just taking a break for 4 seconds. So that's why it's called box breathing. So you can kind of draw a box with your finger as you're doing it, breathing in and holding it and exhaling and then waiting. And then we take another breath in. So providing our body with that biofeedback again to get ourselves kind of re-regulated. That is a great strategy, not just for anticipatory stress, but any type of stress. That's something I really like to do if I'm running between meetings or, you know, going from one project to another. I give myself 30 seconds to just give a little biofeedback and get my body reset. So that's another really positive way that we can help address some of this stress. And then lastly, just thinking about the social piece of stress, right? Who are you around? Positive relationships have a really, really, you know, there's so much research about how positive relationships help us manage our stress in an easier way because we're able to have that sounding board. We're able to have somebody that can just listen to us and maybe provide additional ideas. So being mindful that you have those people that support you around you, right? And really focusing on those people that are going to help you achieve, you know, peace, help you work on these strategies with you, you know, and perhaps not people that may be negative or, you know, encourage bad habits or, you know, coping strategies that maybe aren't super healthy, like substance use, drinking, drugs, tobacco, you know, just being mindful of who we are with and what we are, you know, with those people and without them as well. You know, positive relationships will help us with our stress, but negative relationships will not, even if we feel like they are in the moment, right? So those are just some different things that you can do as we try to manage, you know, all this stuff. That's really all I can call it, this stuff, right? I'd like to use a different word, but then Joe would have to edit it out. So all this stuff that we're dealing with, you know, and again, knowing that this is a situation that continues to change. We don't have hard answers on everything yet, and that can make it a lot harder and can make the stress worse. So I just want to remind you that It's normal to feel stress. It's normal to be worried about things, even if they haven't happened to you yet, right? And they may not happen, but you can still be stressed about them thinking they might. That's okay. What we need to do is just be aware that that's what we're feeling, right? Tell people that and practice these strategies, taking care of ourselves, right? Taking deep breaths, focusing on our positive relationships. These are all things that we can do to help manage this stress in the long run. And again, will help us come out on the other side of it, hopefully more resilient, right? More prepared for whatever the next disaster is going to be. I do want to say that maybe you are listening and you feel like what you are feeling is beyond what you can manage by yourself. And that is also okay. You know, I do want to remind you there are resources available in the state of Minnesota for farmers for free. So the Minnesota Farm and Rural Helpline is available at 833-600-2670. You can also text 898-211. We do also have mental health professionals available for free for farmers in the state. You can find information about them at mnfarmstress.com. So please do what you can to take care of yourself, but know that sometimes it's too much to manage on your own, and that's okay. So that's why these resources are available. You can always contact me or the Moves Room if you need help finding a specific resource. We are glad to help however we can. But with that, I am going to wrap it there. And I just hope that you all can take care of yourselves, you know, do what you need to do to keep yourself well and think about these strategies and think about what you are doing to manage not just your regular stress, but your anticipatory stress as well. So if you would like additional information, you can visit the web extension.umn.edu. You can also find us on Twitter at UMN Farm Safety and at UMN Moose Room. And Bradley is not here, but you can find him on Instagram at UMNWCROC Dairy. Thank you all for listening. Take care of yourselves and take care of each other. Bye.